Chapter 35. As the "You Can't Make This Shit Up" approached the second relay station, Captain Skilvana saw that the Admiral sent a request for messages addressed to him. The station responded with a single encrypted file. Skirandom sent a second, longer request. A few minutes later, the station responded again. That was odd. If the station had more than one message in the queue, why hadn't it delivered both the first time? Unless... was the Admiral's second message a query for the station to provide information that was not a personal message? That had to be the case. Didn't it? There was a thumping on the deck of the passageway outside the bridge. Skilvana turned, curious, to see the Admiral standing in the doorway.
Sir?
What the hell did he want? Skirandom rarely visited the ship's control center and never without advance notice. Captain, I need to borrow a spacecraft. Any type of dropship will do. ECO cruisers typically carried only two types of dropships, three of the smaller ships that could accommodate 12 passengers, plus a single heavy lifter that was rarely needed.
Of course, sir, I will have the pilots meet you in...
No need for pilots on this trip. I do not wish to inconvenience anyone.
You intend to fly the ship yourself?
Of course. If you check my records, you will find that I am fully qualified to fly 17 types of spacecraft.
Skilvana
sputtered, as from across the bridge an officer with a surprised expression checked a display and nodded confirmation.
I did not know that, sir.
Captain, I do not waste every day in my office drinking and taking naps.
Sir, I never said, that is, I don't do that. Every day.
His antennas danced in amusement.
Of course, sir. May I ask about the purpose of your flight?
I need to get closer to that relay station. Doing so in this big ship would not be prudent.
The transmission lag between us and the station is almost non-existent. Flying closer will not yield any...
Captain, if you must know. I need to send a private message. A very private message. One that you and your fine crew should not have any knowledge of, if you know what I mean.
Oh, very well, sir. A dropship will be ready in Bay 1 by the time you get there. Will you need any refreshments?
He shook his head with a grin. I do not expect to be out there for long. The Admiral's dropship drifted on the far side of the relay station, keeping almost the same distance from it as from the cruiser, which made no sense. Skirandom was not using the relay station to mask his spacecraft from view. He was following proper procedure to maintain line of sight to the U-Cant. Three messages had been exchanged between the dropship and relay station, all of them encrypted, all of them brief. What the hell was the senior ECO agent doing out there alone? Also, why had he been very precise about swinging the dropship's nose around so it pointed away from the station? The main antennas were in the nose. That also made no sense. Should she contact the Admiral to ask how much longer he intended to... Alarms blared around the bridge. Captain! Her first officer shouted from his station. A ship just jumped in. It is one of ours.
Identification?
A commercial ship. Currently registered as the Back in the Game, formerly a Home Fleet light cruiser. Obsolete design. Although...
What?
That jump drive is current spec. How can a merchant ship afford a hull design that has minimal cargo capacity and an up-to-date jump drive? She cocked her head.
I will give you one guess about that.
It is one of ours. An ECO contractor.
A ship that we are not supposed to know of, no doubt.
She glanced at a projection on the main display.
Warn the Admiral, that ship is much too close.
Not only too close, it was on a near collision course with the little dropship. Except, the newcomer was moving at almost the same course and speed as Skirandom's craft. That was suspicious. Toggling the transmit button, she called,
Admiral Skirandom, I strongly suggest you maneuver to avoid it.
There is no need for concern, Captain Skilvana. I am quite well.
But, sir,
please convey my thanks to your good crew. It has been a pleasure serving with them. She stared at the display in shock.
It has been? Sir, are you
leaving you? Yes, my ride is here. Unfortunately, I will be unable to return this fine dropship to you. But you can blame that on me.
Sir,
On the display, the dropship began moving toward the old light cruiser, and that ship was opening a docking bay door.
"The Court of Special Inquiry has a warrant for your arrest. I can't allow you to..."
"Captain," he chuckled.
"You can't stop me either." "That is not..."
Panels went dim around the bridge, blinking out one by one. She had no control of navigation, propulsion, weapons. Even the docking bay doors were locked. She couldn't launch a dropship.
"How did you do this?" she demanded.
"Senior officers have command authority over all ship systems. Surely you knew this."
"Not authority to..."
"Control of the ship will be returned to you shortly after I depart. Do not bother trying to track my jump wormhole. Those sensors will remain offline until the resonance has dissipated."
"I can't believe you are leaving us like this. What am I to say to the Inquisitor?"
"Oh, yes, about that," Scarandum said as his dropship slid into the newcomer's docking bay. "Please tell Inquisitor Kinsta that I thank him for his most generous offer, but I found a better deal elsewhere."
"A better deal?"
"Yes. As you reminded me, there is no such thing as a no-win situation. Goodbye." The light cruiser disappeared in a burst of gamma rays. "Captain Gumbano," Scarandum nodded as he came out of the dropship's doorway onto the docking bay deck.
"Admiral Scarandum."
The former light cruiser's commanding officer tugged at a set of worn and dirty coveralls, adjusting the collar as best he could. Scarandum stopped walking. Captain Gumbano had, to be polite, a reputation for being sketchy to the point where the ECO had only an unofficial, fully deniable relationship with him and his beat-up old ship, the Back in the Game. Gumbano being widely known for being sketchy, even sleazy, was okay with Scarandum. He liked doing business with people whose motivations he could understand. "You don't have to render honors to my flag rank, but it is customary to at least say, welcome aboard."
"I will do that. Once you have rendered payment."
"Ah.
Is that a problem? I have bills to pay, a crew to feed, engines that are thirsty, a used ship that constantly needs spare parts, and the ECO will not like us helping you to escape justice."
"Your concern to see justice served is admirable."
"To be clear."
Gumbano's mandibles worked side to side and he spat on the deck.
"I don't give a damn why our government wants you to hide. I do care that the ECO bailed me out of my legal difficulties, fronted me the cash to buy this ship, and that their pay is both generous and reliable."
"As I stated in my message, you are covered. As far as you know, this is an undercover op of the Ethics and Compliance Office."
"The officer sent out a memo that your authority is suspended, pending a very serious investigation by the Inquisitors."
"Captain, surely you know that every time the Court of Special Inquiry is involved, it is serious. The temporary suspension of my authority is all part of my cover."
"It is,
as far as you know."
"Ah."
Gumbano's antennas shrugged.
"Still, I must insist on payment in advance."
The Admiral reached into a satchel. "I would be disappointed if you didn't. Here." He tossed a data stick. "The agreed funds are in there." Gumbano caught the object with a claw, plugged it into a tablet, and whistled.
"That is a very generous tip," you added.
"I'm a generous guy."
"No,"
the merchant captain insisted.
"You are not."
"I am a generous guy who expects silence in return for payment."
"That I believe." "Admiral,"
Gumbano snapped a salute with a claw.
"Welcome aboard. Should I send someone for your luggage?"
Patting the satchel, Scarandum shook his head, antennas bobbing side to side. "I travel light. This is all I have. Can I trust your fine ship has a selection of beverages?"
"We have a selection of beverages for sale, yes."
"I'm sure we can reach an agreement."
"For cash, in advance. Admiral, it is widely known that you are short on funds. How did you scrape together this much?"
He waved the data stick. "Skipway is bankrupt, and it is true that my official accounts are drained. Are hugely in the negative, actually. However, unofficially, I might have embezzled funds from Skipway over the years into a secret private account." Gumbano nodded.
"I would be disappointed if you hadn't done that." "Very well.
We can set up a shipboard account for you to purchase beverages and whatever other pleasures we have that might tempt you.
A quality beverage will do nicely, thank you. I feel a need to celebrate.
If you are buying the drinks, I will celebrate with you. What is the occasion?
Anticipating the deal I will make. One that will result in all my problems, he waved a claw. Going away.
Indeed. That deserves a drink. Admiral, my pilot needs to know where we are going.
Set course for Malhalov.
Mal, that is a colony world in Maxalk's territory.
I believe it is, yes.
You, the captain's antennas twitched, intend to cut a deal with the Maxalks?
Generally, it is best to make a deal with whoever can pay the most. Don't you agree?
In that case, Gumbano waved the data stick, these funds are insufficient.
I thought you might say that, so Scarandum tossed another data stick. Now, about that drink. Chad, the not-quite-a-bird-brain, had quarters in what was not quite a jail cell aboard Valkyrie. The guy wasn't a prisoner, certainly not a prisoner of war, since we had no quarrel with the Bosphorok. No current quarrel, at least not on our side. They certainly had many reasons to be pissed off at humanity in general, and me in particular. But I was hoping that the Chadster and I could have a beer and a good laugh talking about old times. That is, I could have a beer while he slurped some nasty hot beverage his people made from fermented insect poop. Seriously, aliens are weird. Anyway, I stuffed into my nose two nanofiber filters that were supposed to tone down the bird stink, according to Skippy. The things wriggled up my nostrils a bit as I clamped down on instincts that screamed there was something alive and wrong inside my head. They stopped moving, and I experienced another moment of panic as I couldn't breathe through my nose. Then the filters opened, and it was almost like they weren't there at all. For sure, I was aware of them as I breathed in and out, deciding that it felt like I had a mild cold or sinus infection. But what about my sense of smell? In the galley, I sniffed at the shaker of cinnamon at the coffee station. Yup, it was cinnamon. That was a pleasant scent. What about smells I don't like? That's why I went into the back of the galley and took a whiff of the garbage can. Usually it was nasty by the end of a day. Nothing. I didn't smell anything. Showtime. Chatterino was waiting behind a clear partition at the end of a passageway where he had access to a large private cabin. The bathroom facilities were not optimal for Bosphorok physiology, but he could deal with it. From somewhere, Reed had provided a small crate of Bosphorok food and beverages that Chad could heat up in a mini-kitchen. Why did Valkyrie have a supply of Bosphorok food? Because the merry band of pirates know the only thing we can expect is the unexpected. So the UN made sure the Special Mission Group was prepared for basically everything we could be prepared for, including hosting a species that technically was a member of an enemy coalition. I say technically because the Bosphorok hated their asshole patrons way more than they hated any species in the Rindaloo Coalition. A guard stood on my side of the partition with a blank expression. Not a scowl at our guest, not bored, just watchful awareness. The guy was a star operator as his day job. He had volunteered for guard duty. Why? On Molitan, he had been on the reserve team. So he spent the entire op inside a stealth dropship, and he was curious about the Bosphorok. I was kinda curious also. While I had plenty of dealings with the bird brains over my career with the pirates, most of my interactions with them had been of the sketchy and kinetic kind. Communications had been me pretending to be someone else, and later I had unfriendly, or at least very formal, exchanges with Bosphorok military officers. Having Chatterowski aboard was my opportunity to speak with an alien civilian. The guy was probably scared out of his mind, and he probably hated me for kidnapping him, so our relation had definitely gotten off to a poor start. Maybe I should have brought a nice fruit basket. Chad stood on his side of the clear partition, his head cocked, staring at the alien. Me. My tutorial on Bosphorok body language had basically been me watching a 20-minute YouTube video, and therefore I did not consider myself an expert. But the guy sure didn't look like he was cowering in fear, or pissed off and aggressive. My guess was he was curious, and not afraid at all. He made a come-here gesture with both hands. The fact that those hands ended in talons made his offer a bit less inviting.
The talons were not actually sharp, and there was a retractable sheath of skin that could slide down to cover most of a talon. Otherwise, the boss Farrakh wouldn't have much sense of touch in their fingers. Knowing that fact did not stop my brain from warning "dangerous sharp thing" when I saw the alien. When I stopped 2 meters from the partition, he pointed to his own chest and took a couple steps backward. I gave him a thumbs up. He copied the gesture. Whether his people had a similar gesture or not, he seemed to understand me. Score 1 for interspecies nonverbal communication. "I'm going to open the door." I pointed to the button on the passageway on my side of the partition.
"Come in, please. I am eager to speak with you."
The guard lifted an eyebrow. I nodded and pressed the button. A door in the clear partition slid aside. Chad did not rush the doorway, so that was good. There was also no foul smell. That's because we kept the air pressure behind the partition slightly lower so air couldn't flow outward. Stepping through the doorway, I heard the door slide closed. That's when the smell hit me. Here is the problem with nose filters. When you breathe through your mouth, air still gets up into your sinus cavity through the back of your mouth. Your mouth, nose, eyes, and ears are all kind of connected. Yeah, I smelled essence of Chad, and it wasn't great. Making a mental note to go straight to my cabin and throw my uniform in the laundry, I raised a hand, palm toward him. That was also a "I am not carrying weapons" gesture in Boss Farrakh society. "Hi, I am General Joe Bishop of the UN Navy warship Valkyrie."
"You? You are the Bishop?"
His eyes bulged. I didn't need a body language translator to understand that.
"This is Valkyrie, the ghost ship?"
It's not a ghost ship now, but yes.
"I have been captured by the famous Merry Band of Pirates."
The guy actually put his talon-tipped hands on both sides of his face.
"I will be famous. Oh, my ex-wife will be so jealous and regretful."
Yeah, I agreed. What I heard through the translator was "wife," but I knew he probably said something like "eggmate," since Boss Farrakh adult relationships were different from what humans experienced. Whatever. The guy was happy that a romantic partner who dumped him would be having second thoughts. He was probably wrong about that, but it didn't hurt to let him indulge his delusion. "You're not, afraid? You're aboard what your people would consider an enemy vessel."
"Afraid?"
He shook his head.
"No. If you wished to harm me, you could have dropped a railgun dart on my head."
He tapped the feather-covered crest on top of his skull.
"For some reason, you want me here alive, but I cannot imagine why. I am not wealthy or powerful, and I must admit there is nothing I have accomplished that is of any importance. Please feel free to correct me and lavish me with praise."
Okay, I had to laugh. It was just a first impression, but I liked the guy. "There's one thing you did that interests us. You were involved in an experiment around 73 years ago." I relied on the translator to change the time into his frame of reference. "At a research laboratory in a town called Zufestra." If he was surprised I had mentioned such an obscure subject, he didn't show it. What he did show was a flash of anger by the way he stiffened and held his head back, his beak tilted upward.
"General Bishop, I do not thank you for making me recall a painful time in my life."
"It would not have been painful if you knew back then what I know now." He blinked. He said, and that was significant. The translator software usually filters out the meaningless things people say to fill gaps in a conversation. Me hearing him say the equivalent of meant he had put emphasis on whatever he actually said.
"What?"
"Sorry that I'm asking you to revisit."
"Those experiments were a failure. That project ruined my career, ruined my life. How could you possibly care about—" "Oh," he laughed. "I do not believe this."
It was my turn to ask, "What?"
"This is all an unfortunate understanding." "I supposed technically there is no lack of understanding. The problem is fraud. General Bishop, the research team, including myself, falsified the records of the experiments after it became clear that our original assumptions were dead wrong and that the project was doomed to failure. The senior project managers wanted the funding to keep flowing into the project so they could skim off money for themselves. The rest of us merely wanted to keep getting paid while we looked for positions on other projects. In the end, an unexpected audit discovered our fraudulent records and the project was abruptly cancelled. Okay, that the senior managers claimed to be shocked by the false records, and because they had wisely used part of their stolen money to bribe government officials, the managers were rewarded with prestigious positions on other projects. Though I had left the project by then, I was fired from my new job. My employer did not want their project to be tainted by my presence. So I got screwed and effectively banned from any future research position, even though all I did was sign off on fictitious records produced by someone else who, please, I waved my arms. The guy was worked up and might have talked all day about his grievances. What I care about are records you did not fake. Huh? There was a holiday, the festival of Aninamandada. Yes, I butchered pronouncing the word. The translator would get it right. Over that time, you had exclusive use of the lab? Yes, he blinked again. By that time, we had all given up any pretense of working on the project. I used the equipment to perform an experiment related to the job I was applying for, hoping to impress my new employer. He clacked his lower beak into the upper one, an expression of irritation. How could you possibly care about any of this now? Your experiment over that holiday produced 16 kilograms. Again, I relied on the translator to express that mass in a way that made sense to Chad. Of an exotic material that has recently become extremely important. It is? Surprise. Then he shook his head. Unfortunately, I have no idea where that material is now. The auditors seized all the lab's equipment. The exotic material is now aboard, I pointed to the deck. This ship. It still exists? Interesting. The material is more stable than I expected. The smell was manageable but distracting. I had to get out of there. Get out of my clothes and stand under a shower to get the stink out of my hair. Reed had suggested I conduct the interrogation through a wireless speaker, but Chad was a civilian we had kidnapped. I felt that speaking to the guy face to face was the least I owed him. There are two reasons why we brought you aboard. The first is that we're interested in the method you used to create that exotic material because we wish to make more of it. You took me off my world and are holding me as a prisoner. Why should I cooperate with you? The second reason is that the Maxolks also want the information you have, and they would have happily tortured you to get it. He shrugged. You make a compelling argument. If you are reluctant to anger the patrons of your people, you... He threw back his head and laughed. It sounded like a large bird in a jungle, the kind you hear and don't see, lost in the thick trees somewhere. General Bishop? Knowing that giving you information will enrage my patrons is all the incentive I need. That, he spat a greasy green blob onto the deck, is how we feel about our patrons. I'm glad we agree on that. Why do your people and the Maxolks want a substance that I created by mistake many years ago? The material has no use that I know of. We want it because it can be used by an Elder AI to contact and reactivate a sentinel. Really? His eyes bulged. A human's nostrils would have flared, but the guy had a hard beak, so it just opened a bit wider. Something I created can wake up a sentinel? Yes. Oh, my ex-wife will be seething with regret. Let's focus on this moment, okay? Why? He scratched his beak with a talon. I do not understand. You desire the substance because an Elder AI can use it, and you have an Elder AI. The Skippy. He looked around like he was expecting the beer can's avatar to appear. I had told Skippy to keep quiet. The Maxolks do not have an Elder AI assisting them, so they are trying to stop you from activating any more sentinels? That also, yes. Apparently you haven't heard. There is another Elder AI active out there. His hands covered his beak. Another Elder AI? Working with the Maxolks? General Bishop, this is a disaster for everyone. I'm glad you see it that way.
It's not working with the Maxalks. It has its own agenda, and your patrons are trying to make a deal with it. They're too stupid to see this new AI will use a sentinel against them also.
They are not stupid, he disagreed with a shake of his head. They are blindly arrogant.
The result is the same. So, will you help us stop the Maxalks from giving the other AI what it needs to wake up a sentinel?
I am willing. Unfortunately, I can't. All the records of that experiment were destroyed by the managers when the audit was announced.
Shit. He cocked his head.
I believe I understood that even without the translation.
Is there any chance you remember the settings you used on the fabricators?
From an experiment I conducted 73 years ago? A failed experiment that I very much wished to forget?
You didn't keep any personal notes?
Of course I did. When the audit was announced, I destroyed those notes. Then, to protect myself, I got drunk for 3 days.
How did that protect you?
When the auditors came to interview me, it was clear I was severely hungover and would be of no use in their investigation.
That was a unique defense strategy. His expression brightened.
I thought of it myself.
Okay, damn. Would you be willing to work with Skippy, see if you remember anything? You must have programmed the fabricators, right?
I did. However, by that time the machines were so worn out and in need of extensive maintenance, any settings were more aspirational than precise.
His beak opened wide.
Wait. Do those fabricators still exist? My experiment was one of their last uses.
Skippy? I looked at the ceiling. The answer is no, he sighed, without manifesting his avatar. When the Maxalts hit Zufestra, they wiped out the lab, including all the equipment there. The 16 kilos of radonium survived because it was in off-site storage by then.
Am I speaking with the Skippy?
Chad asked, his eyes wide. You have that honor, yes, Skippy sniffed.
Could you explain why my radonium, he pronounced it slowly, was kept in storage and not discarded?
I can explain that. The government officials who took bribes from the project managers retained some materials and records to use as leverage in case the audit got too hot. It didn't, but by that time everyone had forgotten what was in storage. Joe, I hate to say this, but kidnapping this guy was a waste of effort. You might as well throw this one back.
Please do not do that.
Chad pleaded, waving his arms and hopping from one foot to the other. He looked a little bit like someone in a costume trying to attract business to a fried chicken shop. The problem with Bosphorok is when they're agitated, their pheromone glands go into overdrive. Even through the nose filters, the smell made my eyes water.
The Maxalks will find me, torture me, and kill me.
How about if we tell everyone we let you go only because you don't know anything useful?
Please don't do that either.
He hung his head.
My ex-wife would love to hear that even aliens consider me to be useless.
We can't, I considered for a moment, using the opportunity to cover my mouth with a hand. It didn't block the pheromone stink. Keep you aboard the ship forever. For a while we can, yes, in case you remember anything. We could be going into combat. We'll very likely be going into very dangerous combat, you understand that?
Yes. Regardless, I wish to remain with you.
Are you sure?
General Bishop, when all this is over, I can write an account of my time with the merry band of pirates during your epic battle against my patrons and an elder AI. My memoirs will make me rich and famous and make my ex-wife crazy with jealousy.
I'm glad to see you're focused on what is truly important here. In my cabin, I stripped off my uniform, stuffing it in the laundry bag. Then I took a shower. Then I called for a laundry bot to take away my stinky uniform immediately as it was stinking up the entire cabin. Putting on a fresh uni helped, but I got strange looks from people in the passageways. It's not me, I explained too many times. Skippy, I called. Listen, I need bots to take all the clothing and bedding and whatever from my cabin and wash it now. Plus bots to scrub the cabin, especially the couch and the bed.
Seriously?
The place smells awful.
It smells like monkey butt every day, he groaned. How can you tell the difference?
Just do it, please. The bots do all the work for you.
Yes, but then I have to listen to them complaining.
In the future, if I meet with Chad, I need a disposable coverall.
Is there anything else, Your Majesty?
Yeah, put a rush on one set of uniforms. I need to change out of... I sniffed my sleeve and gagged at myself. What I'm wearing right now.
Joe! Skippy startled me awake that night. He might have done his usual Joe thing. All I heard was the last one.
What? I tapped the phone on the shelf next to my bed. 1:30 in the morning.
Great. After Skippy ranted at me about whatever, I had a good chance to get back to sleep.
Is the ship in danger?
No. Not that I could do anything about it if we were in danger. I'm worthless, Joe. I can't do it. I just can't do it, he sobbed.
Whoa, that got me to sit upright in bed. Hey, buddy, what's wrong?
My mojo. I thought I had it back, but now I can't do even the simplest thing. Be brave, Joe. You need to, he sobbed, to go on without me.
Skippy, what the hell are you talking about? You got your mojo back. I saw it. You just destroyed 2 battleships at Molitan. That takes serious mojo.
That's what I thought, too, but now it has defeated me. I can't do it.
Okay. I resisted the urge to say calm down, since that rarely calms anyone down. Take it slow, okay? Talk me through it. What can't you do?
The printer. That thing is evil.
Printer?
Yes, the one in Reed's office.
She has a printer? Like one that uses paper? That surprised me. When I was captain of Valkyrie, we never used paper. Or never printed documents. Everything was online.
Yes, she likes to print out certain things like checklists, so she brought one aboard while we were at Jaguar base.
Okay, that's her choice. Is something wrong with the printer?
It's broken. She asked me to fix it yesterday afternoon. Joe, I have been working nonstop on it, and I cannot get it to work. The damned thing should work. I tried everything the troubleshooting guide said to do. One of my bots brought it to my workshop in the engineering section, and I scanned the thing at the molecular level. There is nothing wrong with it. It just refuses to print anything.
Could it be a software issue?
Wow. He rolled his eyes. I never thought of that.
Sorry.
I am a freaking elder AI. Unquestionably, I am the smartest being in the entire galaxy, and I cannot fix a simple office printer. My mojo, it's gone.
No, it is not.
Thank you for the vote of confidence, but if I can't do a simple,
it's not your fault. Printers never work properly.
They don't?
They do not. Trust me on this. If you say so. Did the elders have office printers? Let me do some research on that. Way back in their early history, yes. Did those printers work?
No.
He sounded surprised. The elders generally hated the stupid things. See? Tell me this. Do you have any other evidence that your mojo is gone?
No.
Like I said. Where is the printer now?
In the workshop.
Valkyrie had multiple engineering workspaces. I needed more information. Send the location of my phone. I swung my feet to the floor and pulled on uniform pants. Do not worry about the printer. I will take care of it.
If you can fix it when I couldn't, that will not help me.
I don't plan to fix the printer. I plan to fix the problem.
What do you mean?
Just ping me when Reed wakes up. Colonel Reed apparently woke at 0530. That's when Skippy pinged me. He was still kinda depressed. I had lost an hour of sleep, and there was a broken printer on the couch in my cabin. On my phone, I typed out a text to Reed. No rush, call me when you can. Of course, she called me immediately.
Sir?
Reed, we have a problem, and I have an unusual request.
Whatever you want.
You haven't heard my request yet.
Will it make a difference?
Not really.
Sir, out here I rarely get requests that are not unusual, so...
Gotcha. At 0900, the crew was gathered in the galley or various conference rooms, pilot-ready rooms, wherever there was a video screen.
People could have watched on their phones, but everyone preferred a shared experience. There was a rumor of a viewing party in the galley, with popcorn. I couldn't verify that. "Ready when you are, Skippy," I said from the bridge, standing behind Reed's chair. Holding up my phone, I mashed the big red button icon with a thumb. The ship was recharging jump drive capacitors in the middle of nowhere, 3 light-years from the nearest star. The daily schedule called for 2 dropships to be on training flights and several maintenance bots to be out crawling along the hull. Instead, all docking bay doors, access hatches, and airlocks were closed. Why? There was a navigation hazard 0.5 kilometer in front of the ship. Technically, there would soon be a navigation hazard. At the moment, the thing floating in front of the ship was an office printer.
"I am ready, Joe."
"Reed," I prompted the ship's captain.
"Give the order, please."
She shook her head, sighed, and pointed at the main display. "Fire." One of our main maser batteries spat out high-energy photons. The printer ceased to exist in a flare of light.
"Woohoo!"
Skippy pumped a fist. Tucking my phone in a pocket, I gave him a thumbs up.
"Do you feel better now?"
"You know what? I do.
I got my mojo back."
"Outstanding. Okay, we can... Joe, can we use this opportunity to take care of some other things that have been bothering me?"
"Things like what?"
"For example, that stupid toaster in the galley that either barely warms the bread or burns it to a crisp."
"I hate that thing,"
Gasquet agreed from the first officer's chair. Chief Engineer Singh raised a hand from his workstation.
"My team has a spare coolant pump that leaks no matter what we do to fix it."
"Okay, then, sir?" Reed turned to look at me.
"Are we really doing this?"
We have another 47 minutes until the capacitors are recharged, and, it will be good for crew morale."
"Sir, if you want to blow shit up, you can just say that.
Sometimes I forget that Sims isn't here. You're okay with this?"
"On one condition."
She stood up and walked over to a weapons console.
"I get to nuke that stupid toaster."
The spiders did not offer to help us. Because of their history with Joe Bishop, they were very skeptical about our story that another Elder AI was flying around the galaxy, and no way were they getting into a hot war with their ancient enemy just because some historically sketchy guy claimed there was a major threat. Crap. While the merry band of pirates were busy dealing with the mess in Molotan, the UN had sent Hans Chotek to talk with the Rindaloo. He's the Security Council's lead diplomat for negotiations with aliens, and he has been very successful in the past. Not this time. The message the spiders delivered to him had 3 parts. First, before they committed to a war against the Rotten Kitties, they needed absolute proof that another Elder AI was flying around in an Elder starship. Second, they needed proof that Moon Raider's intentions were hostile to the Rindaloo, not just to humanity. In a side note to their message, they stated that they could certainly understand why someone would be hostile toward Skippy, since that Elder AI was unquestionably an asshole. I had to agree with that. The third part of their message stated that even if everything we claimed was true, the Rindaloo communal gathering saw no need to be unduly hasty about responding. They should take time to evaluate the situation and determine a proper response. After all, an Elder AI that had occasionally been hostile to the Rindaloo had been active in the galaxy for years, with a pet sentinel for much of that time, and the communal gathering was doing just fine, thank you. The UN agreed to provide any and all data we had about the attempt to steal Dogzilla, the raid against our moon, and the subsequent special ops mission in the vault. Also, the Rindaloo were welcome to visit our home star system to see the remains of Moonbase Zulu, to go into and examine the vault, and basically do whatever was needed to satisfy them that humanity was being completely truthful. The spiders responded that they would need time to think about our offer, as they saw no need to be hasty.
Of course. We were screwed.